Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Connor Sutton, here on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Producer Jared King is joining me today. A lot of good stuff here on the show today. Dan Anderson, the Sports Encyclopedia and Simpson University Public Address Announcer, will be joining me next segment. We'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about there. We got some NBA playoffs, some NFL draft recap, and we'll revisit a little bit of the Rookie of the Year debate. And coming up in the fourth segment, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with Major League Baseball, so that'll be coming up. Yesterday, last night, we had the, in here in Reading, is Cool April Nights. Jared and I were talking about it here before, and you said, Jared, you didn't go, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, I didn't go.
A little too crowded for me.
Well, it's not that it's too crowded. I mean, yeah, it was too crowded, but it was just wasn't great weather, and so I decided not to go, and, I mean, maybe next year, but... But yeah, a lot of good stuff to get to today. In the first segment, we're going to start with a new segment. It's called Where I Was Right and Where I Was Wrong. And basically, it's very simple. I'm going to tell you where I was right in my predictions, and then I'm going to tell you where I was wrong. So let's hit it. Here we go. Where I was right and where I was wrong. All right. Here's where I was right. Donovan Mitchell for Rookie of the Year. I said it. Yeah. Playoffs might not matter in the voting, but Mitchell's been in the spotlight in his first round, and he shined. They beat the Thunder last night in Game 6 to take the first-round series, and we'll be moving on, and we'll be taking on the Houston Rockets. Now, obviously, that's going to be a tougher test, but I know the playoffs don't matter in the voting, but here's what I have noticed from Donovan Mitchell. He has stepped up in every big spot. He's had help in that first round. Ricky Rubio, who actually missed last night after leaving with a hamstring injury. He had Ricky Rubio had a big game two and game three. Joe Ingles has been good. Rudy Gobert has been good. Jay Crowder. And obviously their defense has been huge for the Utah Jazz. How many times do you hear people talking about the Utah Jazz as a contender? It's been since the Stockton and Malone days. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has put them in that spot. He's been the leader, and he has had the ball in his hands down the stretch, averaging 38 minutes per game in the playoffs, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. It's very simple. Rookie of the Year isn't usually based on what happens if you remove the player from the team, but we haven't had a Rookie of the Year debate this close since Grant Hill and Jason Kidd split it way back in the 1990s. And not only that, I haven't really talked about Mitchell's defense, but he was guarding Westbrook on certain occasions. He was guarding Paul George on certain occasions. And not only that, they were guarding him. So he has elite defenders on him nearly every possession. The Thunder have two superstars. Paul George and Russell Westbrook. They also have Melo and Steven Adams, who are solid players. And yet the Jazz beat them in six. That's scary. And the Jazz might be single-handedly responsible for breaking up the Thunder here this year, as I think Paul George will test free agency. Where I was wrong, I didn't think the Jazz were going to win the first round against the Thunder. I thought the Thunder had too much talent. I don't think the Thunder are very well coached. Billy Donovan, I think, has kind of just lost control of the team on the offensive end. A lot of isolation. It's really turned into me ball out there, especially for Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. Although Paul George was really, really good in this series. Just didn't have enough help. Westbrook had, 45 last night? And over 45 the game before. The first time anybody's done that in a long time. But here's where I underestimated the Jazz. Is Quinn Snyder is a much better coach than teams give him credit for. Unbelievably good defensively. And I really thought the Thunder was going to handle the Jazz pretty easily, but they didn't. Utah, I thought, was going to be rebuilding this year. Instead, they're a contender in the West and will be for the next couple years. Now, when I say contender, obviously you got the Rockets and you got the Warriors. But I'm thinking if the Jazz can continue to play good defense, I think they have a shot. I mean, it's a very small chance, especially in Houston. Obviously, the Rockets are much different than the Thunder, especially when it comes to offensive firepower with Chris Paul and James Harden for Houston. But I think the Jazz got a shot. All right, where I was right, I said the Browns were going to do something stupid with the first overall pick. Guess what? They did. Baker Mayfield. Here's why I'm not okay with that. If you're the Browns, you need stability. You can't be swinging for the fences with your picks. You need somebody who can come in. He doesn't need to be a superstar right now. Yeah, a couple years down the road when you've had some stability elsewhere, when you've won more than one game in two seasons, then you can go for the home run pick. But you need a quarterback with maybe not as much upside. But here's the thing. I'm pretty sure Sam Darnold has the least amount of chance of flopping. Baker Mayfield might. He was taken number one overall. I had him at the 11th spot in my mock draft. And here's the thing. How many times can the Browns make the same mistake? Mayfield, although maybe good on paper, just the way he's not very tall. He doesn't have a huge arm. That kind of stuff is a factor, and it scares me because it could be the same issue that they have made with former quarterbacks is trying to take the guy that they might like the best instead of taking the smart pick, which obviously would have been Sam Darnold. Where I was wrong, Baker Mayfield, I said I had him going Dolphins to 11. He spent one overall. I know I just said this was a dumb move by the Browns, but it's not dumb because it won't work out. It's dumb because they need stability. The franchise of the Browns needs something they haven't had in a quarterback who is consistent. They haven't had that. Baker Mayfield might give them that and more, but Darnold has a much better chance of being a B-plus quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Mayfield might have a higher ceiling, but Sam Darnold has a better chance of being a solid quality quarterback. And also, I don't understand why the Browns didn't take Barkley at one and then wait to get Mayfield at four. I don't think Mayfield would have been taken. It's pretty clear the Giants weren't taking a quarterback. If they took Barkley at the two pick, and I think we all kind of guessed that because they have been hinting that they're going to stick with Eli for the next couple years, they must think Mayfield's their guy. So we'll see, but it's not that I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to work out. It's just the fact that the Browns keep making the same decision over and over again to try and get a guy who might have more upside but isn't as consistent. Where I was right, I said Saquon Barkley was going to the Giants. And, you know, now Eli Manning and the Giants' offensive line have somebody to block for. Here's the thing. Saquon Barkley can do a lot for this offense. They have more options now, and Eli hasn't had a solid back in quite a while. If they keep Odell Beckham Jr., which it looks like they're going to, their offense could become big once again. Where I was wrong, I had the Trailblazers beating the Pelicans in five games in the NBA playoffs in the first round. I couldn't have been more wrong. This is the one that I'm upset about, but here's the thing. I don't think anybody really predicted it. Maybe the Pelicans winning in six or seven, but not four games. So they completed the four-game sweep. Rondo and Jrue Holiday, who I said were not going to be any match for Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, they stepped up big time in the backcourt. I was very impressed. However, I don't think it'll be any match for the Golden State Warriors, but I do think Anthony Davis just proved he is a top five or six player in the league. He was unbelievable in this series, dominated on both ends, and with his athleticism and his ability to handle the basketball, his ability to shoot it, play back to the basket, he has so many things he can do. He's going to continue to get better, and he will be the best player in the league at some point in time. I have an MVP vote, or he's going to be a future MVP. I don't know when, but it might be coming soon. Here's the problem with this, is the Blazers might be breaking up because Lillard and McCollum both did not play very well. Lillard especially didn't shoot very well. They need to either get a swingman who can score and defend, or a really dominant big man here in the offseason. If they don't do that, they're still going to stay in that spot where maybe they're a top four team in the West, but they can't get past the first or second round and get deep into the playoffs. Where I was right, I said the Browns were going to take Denzel Ward at cornerback. Ward might be the best player in the draft, especially defensively, maybe Bradley Chubb. But I called that one. He could very well be a lockdown corner and a guy you can put out there on an island. Where I was wrong, I had Bradley Chubb going to the Colts. He went one higher to the Broncos. And once again, the Broncos looking to have a great defense. Chubb with Von Miller. Von Miller is an edge rusher. That could be huge for the Denver Broncos on the defensive side of the football. Where I was right, I said the Bills would trade up for a quarterback, and they did just that. I had them trading up to the 9th spot. They traded up to the 7. They picked up Josh Allen. Josh Allen has that big arm, and I think it's a good fit in Buffalo because he can throw through that tough weather in Buffalo, New York. But overall, Allen is going to have to probably start right now, which scares me. He's got to refine a few things. His pocket presence doesn't thrill me, and his accuracy also scares me. So, Josh Allen, I like that Buffalo traded up to get him. They obviously needed a quarterback after getting rid of Tyrod Taylor to the Browns, but we'll see. He has to start now. That's what worries me with Josh Allen. Where I was wrong, I had LeBron rolling through the Eastern Conference playoffs. Not the case. They're going to play in Game 7 in a couple nights. They got blown out last night by the Pacers, by the way. The Pacers are much better than I thought they were, especially defensively. And Victor Oladipo and company doing a good job. But overall, the East just isn't very good. When I've watched a lot of these playoff games, compared to the West, they just don't seem to have as much talent. I think we all kind of know that, but it's become evident in the playoffs, just the quality of basketball on the Eastern Conference playoffs in this first round, not nearly up to par as it was in the West. Top three or four teams in the West would win the East easily, I think. Especially this year, when who knows what's going to win. Toronto struggled in the first round. Boston's got a Game 7 coming up. I think that's tomorrow, or maybe tonight. But yeah, so that was where I was right, where I was wrong. We'll do that every couple weeks after I make some predictions and have some fun. I just don't like when radio hosts... I mean, you can talk about how smart you are with predictions, but there's no way you get everything right, so... Yeah, I might get a couple things right, but more often I'm going to get more things wrong. So, where I was right, where I was wrong. And coming up next, Dan Anderson Simpson, public address announcer in Sports Encyclopedia, will be joining me for the rest of the way, and I'm going to tell you why I think the Cavs playing extra games in the playoffs might benefit them in the long run. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Home, there's no place like it, where you create day-to-day memories with your family and good times with your friends. Palomar Builders invites you to experience Highland Park. Highland Park in East Reading. Homes built with green technology, meaning your Palomar home will be very energy efficient. Featuring radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency quick recovery gas water heaters, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and shower heads, and programmable irrigation systems. Distinctive interior and exterior features, and designer kitchens. This environmentally sensitive sensitive master plan community features a number of stream corridors and mature trees, full front yard landscaping with automatic irrigation systems, in your kitchen, granite slab countertops, recessed LED lighting, some plans with stylish islands, and walk-in pantries. Come see our new model home at 484 Belvedere. It's now open daily except Wednesdays. It's a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath at $559.8. Contact Debbie Morgan of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Joining us now on the show is Simpson University public address announcer and sports encyclopedia, as I call him here on the show, Dan Anderson. And Dan, good to have you. We had you on, what, a couple weeks ago? A
couple weeks ago, yeah.
And we talked about the Rookie of the Year debate, and since you texted me a couple times this week saying how wrong I was about Donovan Mitchell, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But first, I want to start with this. This is kind of a interesting take, and I haven't heard anything like it, and that's because it might be completely wrong, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. The Cavs are going to a Game 7 against the Pacers. I thought, and I think you thought, the Cavs were going to dominate that series.
Yeah, I think I picked them in 5.
Yeah, I picked them in 4 because I said LeBron was going to dominate and they were going to just roll through Indiana. One, I think I underestimated Indiana. They're a good defensive team.
I agree. They've looked much better. I thought, basically my take on it was I thought Oladipo was good enough to take one at home, just that atmosphere.
But right.
They have looked pretty good, much better than I think both you and I thought.
More than anything, it's been their defense.
Right, yeah.
Because who do they have? I mean, Darren Collison, who I know hasn't played great.
Right.
And their rim protection has been good. I mean, I've been very, very impressed with...
Well, Stevenson has...
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
He has LeBron's number. Now, obviously, he doesn't shut him down, but he's got the key to get inside his mind. I don't know what he has, but whoever in the East wants to contend, the Celtics need to lock him up.
I was just going to say, the Celtics need to sign him and figure it out. Thunder losing last night to the Jazz in Game 6, so Utah's moving on too, but we didn't pick that either. I'm very shocked by
that.
Anyway, here's what I'm thinking about the Jazz, or the Cavs, excuse me. The Cavs haven't had a lot of reps playing together. Kevin Love came back from injury. They had all those midseason trades, and since all that has happened, they haven't played very many games together, around 30, 35, including the playoffs, a little bit more. But when you have played so few games together, I know that sounds like a lot of games, but in the NBA, it's really not. Usually it takes about a year. When LeBron went to the Heat the first time, it took him a year before they really got going. They lost to the Mavericks in the finals that first year in 2011, and then winning it the next year. It takes a long time for you to understand players' tendencies offensively, defensively, and having communication defensively. So I think that these extra reps that they're getting on the defensive side of the basketball against Indiana can possibly help them later in the playoffs. Now, they still got to win the series, but because they're getting more chances, although last night they got blown out by 30, so this doesn't help my argument,
right,
that they are getting more chances to work together, essentially, figure out where everybody is smooth. I saw Tristan Thompson got some reps last night, which he has been a non-factor this entire playoffs. He's been more focused on the entertainment news than anything else. But since Kevin Love has come back from injury, the Cavs haven't played a lot of time together. Love has kind of been the guy, kind of hasn't been. He's been inconsistent. And basketball is largely about that. You can have baseball. Anybody can roll in and kind of play. That doesn't really matter. Getting into a rhythm offensively and even defensively with certain players is so key. I think it's going to affect the Cavs that these extra games are going to actually benefit them defensively.
Right. I think... to a certain extent, yeah, but I feel like you said, Tristan Thompson just finally getting minutes. It seems like they're still experimenting with what they're doing. At this point, they need to have something that they've had settled. It could be good, but I think they need to be wrapping this series up. LeBron is not young anymore. He needs to be wrapping this series up quicker than he has been. Like game seven, you can't be playing game seven in round one and think you're going to contend here. I still will say I like the Cavs because if you have LeBron James, the best player in the league, you still have the chance. But I still like their chances to win the series, but it makes me worry. I think both of us picked the Cavaliers to make it to the finals.
Yep.
I'm not too sold on that. I don't know who's coming out of the East because the Raptors are not looking great.
I don't think it really matters who comes out of the East.
because whoever comes out of the West is going to... I think even the Pelicans could come out of the West right now and still dominate.
Right. I agree.
Let's talk about them a little bit, because I said they were going to get losing five, and they came out and absolutely dominated. You actually picked that.
I picked them to win in seven. I did not expect them to sweep.
They absolutely dominated. I think there was a lot of out-coaching there. I thought Alvin Gentry did a really, really good job with the Pelicans and shutting down Lillard and McCollum. Basically, they blitzed their on-ball screens and forced Lillard and McCollum to give up the ball, and then made Nikola Jokic and their swingman to beat him, and they just couldn't.
Right, and Davis, as I said, that was the one thing I'd really had right about that series. I said I thought he was ready to step up and take over a series.
He did,
and he was unbelievable.
Well, he had Drew Holiday had that big performance.
Yeah, Holiday looked good.
Rondo even looked good.
So they were a team that I thought they could be, but I didn't think they were going to be consistent enough to take four off the Blazers. Like, the Blazers were a good team,
yeah,
and they no-showed to this playoffs.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder if the Blazers might make a move here.
I think it might be near the end to try
to blow
this up. Same with, you mentioned the last segment of the Thunder, they're done.
Paul George is going somewhere else in free agency. I would imagine the Lakers, depending on what happens. But you never know. And obviously LeBron's a free agent this year, so we'll see. It's going to be an interesting summer as far as
free agency goes. Yeah.
And this is the first series in the playoffs that I have kind of noticed LeBron James' age.
Yeah, I agree.
Normally in the playoffs, he has been so dominant, and he's been dominant, but he's had to rely on other players a little bit more to shoot the ball. And when his cast hasn't been shooting the ball well from the outside, they don't look very good.
That's what worries me the most about him, because there has not been a consistent number two. Like, he used to be able to rely on Kyrie to take some offensive trips off,
yep.
But now he has to play. He has to be the man every single time down the court, and he has to play defense. Which he had that big game five it was.
Yep.
Although that was a goaltend, but in the league even admitted it was. I don't know if that affected the outcome in the end, but that was a huge play, and then he had the big three to win it. But he needs somebody to step up on a more consistent. Maybe it doesn't need to be the same player, but somebody has to help him out, and he doesn't seem to have that help.
I agree. And Kevin Love's going to be, if he's going to be that guy, he's got to step up and turn into Minnesota Timberwolves,
right,
Kevin Love.
Exactly.
Because he can't just be a spot-up shooter. He's got to realize now that Kyrie is out, he's the number two guy, which means he's going to have to get the ball in the post every once in a while and make some moves, and we just haven't seen him do that in a while.
I agree. It's just too much for LeBron at this point. Like you said, his age is starting to show.
Jordan Clarkson hasn't been very good. George Hill's been hurt. But as you mentioned earlier, I'm going to bring this up real quick. I don't understand the last 2 minutes from the NBA saying what every call they made incorrectly. Now, the goaltend, I somewhat understand, but all you're doing is giving excuses to Indiana, you're getting Pacer fans upset, you're getting NBA fans upset for not getting it right the first time.
Right. The NFL's done this before, too. I understand that trying to be transparent and say, look, here's what we got wrong, but it just seems like you're stirring up the pot here with...
Transparency's, yes, I agree with what they're trying to do, trying to be, league-friendly and player-friendly and... But if you miss a call and you admit that you miss a call, to me that just makes you mad that you missed the call.
Exactly. If I'm a Pacers fan, I'm not thinking, well, we got screwed, but...
I'm thinking, I want to move on to the playoffs.
Yeah, at least they admitted it, so I feel better. No, there's nothing about that that makes you feel good. Maybe admit it. Like, have a press briefing after the playoffs all together, go, oh, by the way, because after tempers are cool, but right the day after to say... Oh, yeah, we blew that call, and maybe the Cavs should be, at this point, they should be out of the playoffs. I don't know.
When your girlfriend breaks up with you, and then later, 2 months later, decides that it was a mistake, does that make you feel any better?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Man. Yeah, I don't get what the NBA is doing with that. That being said, though, they're growing like crazy. So, Adam Silver's doing a great job. But, NFL draft real quick. I know I didn't have you on for the draft, mock draft, but a lot of good stuff there. I think I mentioned you agreed with me on the Baker Mayfield stuff. But you did say, however, that you think Josh Allen is going to not start here in this first season.
I'm not sure any of these. We have four go in the top 10. I'm not sure any of them will start unless they have great training camps, which I think is good. I think we're starting to shift back towards that.
Yes, I was just going to say, last week I mentioned that where it seems like there was a 5-year window where if you got drafted in the first round as a quarterback, you were the starter.
And you had to produce.
And you had to produce, right now. Yep. And now they're going back and realizing, like, hey, maybe you need a year to figure out the offense and get ready to the pro style and the quickness and the speed of the game and the practice, and then step in.
Right, and I think the Bills, where Rosen is going, I mean, excuse me,
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is going, they just signed A.J. McCarron from the Bills, who was almost, he was...
from the Bengals?
Yeah, from the Bengals. He almost went to the Browns during a trade, and then the Browns screwed that one up. Believe it or not, the Browns had a screw up in the front
Browns?
Office game. Yeah, believe it or not.
No.
So I think they're definitely give McCarron the chance to start and prove it. If Allen shows up and has a great preseason, a great training camp, he'll definitely get that start, because I think the fans are going to be clamoring for it. But I think McCarron, from what I've seen, and obviously it's been small sample sizes, he has the talent to at least hold the ship stable while Allen gets ready.
Yeah, I agree. And here's if the Browns get good and make the playoffs this year, Cleveland fans are going to be terribly annoying.
Well, I mean,
if they keep LeBron.
They made the playoffs last year with Taylor, and they benched Taylor in the middle of the season. So, the Browns aren't far off. Their defense is great. It's just their division.
The Browns made the playoffs?
Excuse me, the Bills.
The Bills.
The Bills were in the playoffs last year.
I was going to say, they haven't won a game in a while.
They were 0-16. Unbelievable.
Yeah, if the Browns make the playoffs this year, which I don't think is going to happen, then you'll have the Indians. Yeah, Cleveland Indians. And also the Cavs, all teams contenders, essentially.
Right.
Cleveland fans are going to turn into Philadelphia fans where they think they're invincible.
Right.
Anyway, all
that's
right. Coming
up, happen.
Yeah, I agree. But coming up next, we'll have more on the Rookie of the Year debate. We got into it about 2 weeks ago, and nothing's settled, so we're going to get into that again. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse, as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. Mm-hmm. And they could be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
At Cypress Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we specialize in personalized service, quality eye care, and competitive prices. Make your appointment today and receive 50% off your frame, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. Cypress Sore Eyes is your locally owned eye care professional. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, offer a military discount, and do your insurance paperwork. See our store for complete details. Cypress Sore Eyes, 722-9992.
Oliver, the award-winning musical adaptation of the classic Dickens novel, springs to life at the Cascade Theater with some of the most memorable characters and songs ever to hit the stage. April 19th to the 22nd and 26th to the 29th. Tickets on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 and online at cascadetheater.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Your home.
home. It's where the sunrise starts your day, where you entertain the closest of friends, where the family gathers around the dinner table, and where your memories are made. Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is building those memories every day. They invite you to discover the residential community of River Point in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees, RV parking, energy efficiency, truly exceptional interior and exterior features, designer kitchens with granite countertops, and stylish master suites. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing with many floor plans to choose from. With prices starting at $299,800 for the home of your dreams. One of our featured homes, a brand-new 4-bed, 2-bath home with a 3-car garage and over 2,000 square feet of living space, was just completed at River Point Subdivision. Featuring granite countertops, a beautiful cozy fireplace, green technology, and a huge landscape backyard, listed at under $361,000. Contact Debbie Morgan of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties for details.
Welcome back. Segment 3 here on Sports Talk. I'm Connor Sutton, joined by Dan Anderson, producer Jared King also with us this morning, as always. Jared's not too happy with me ever since we started the show. He's had to get up early on Saturday mornings. Not a morning guy, Jared?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. That's all right. It's just one more hour, you know.
Yeah.
Just one less hour of sleep.
And you get to hear about sports that I know you know so much about, and you're a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
With heavy sarcasm.
You know, if I didn't actually have to run the board, I'd be schooling both of you guys right now.
So who's your rookie of the year then, Jared? Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons?
I'll just keep that to myself.
Okay, all right. All right, let's get into the rookie of the year debate. This is actually something I don't ever remember there ever being a rookie of the year debate like this, where people are, like, buying billboards. As you just see that the other day, Donovan Mitchell,
yeah.
Or I don't know, it was, I think it was Adidas who did the billboard with the rookie question mark. I mean, this is a big thing. And obviously with social media and all that kind of stuff growing, it's amplified.
Both the players have been campaigning for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's turned into
it really has. We haven't seen like that at all. Usually it's a pretty clear-cut winner.
Right.
Obviously back, I think it was 95 when Kidd and Hill split it.
Yeah.
But we haven't really seen a competitive rookie of the year in a really long time. So with that being said, both guys, if it was a different year, probably would win it easily.
I agree.
So, again, I just seem to think that Donovan Mitchell has been more impressive in what he has had to do because he's had to carry the load offensively and be a team leader as a rookie at 21 years old. As to where Ben Simmons kind of stepped into a team with veteran leadership, including J.J. Redick. They got a couple players. Robert Covington is good. Dario Saric is good. They got a lot of players in Philadelphia that can help them win games. Where Utah, when they lost Gordon Hayward in the free agency, as I said a couple weeks ago, we thought, oh, they're rebuilding.
They were lottery for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they pick up Donovan Mitchell, and all of a sudden they're a 5 seed, and they're going to the second round of the playoffs. They're going to be taking on the Houston Rockets.
Right. I just want to say everything I'm about to say to try to support Simmons' candidacy here. I think Mitchell's great, and they're this close. Obviously, we're having this debate because they're close, so none of this is disparaging towards Donovan Mitchell. But basically,
I won't tell him that.
Okay, yeah. If you're listening, Donovan, I think you're great.
if you're listening in Redding, California,
you're great. But I'm sorry, Simmons. This, to me, because this got re-brought up because I saw you had a cryptic tweet about how you were right and how you're wrong, and I immediately knew you were about to say.
I did, yep.
Because you just had watched a Jazz game, I'm sure, and you thought to yourself, but you're basically not this off one game and maybe even the playoffs.
No, I got reminded. I'm watching this Donovan Mitchell player, and I'm thinking, there's no way this guy's a rookie.
Same thing with Simmons. I mean, the Sixers. Simmons has been.
He's not
great.
A rookie, first off, because he's in his second year. But I know that's not part of the debate. Whatever. But here's what I want a quick shout out. Donovan Mitchell, if you're listening, all the way from Utah, Salt Lake City. If you ever want to come on the show, please just give me a call. I'm telling you, no questions asked. I bring you on. Anyway, so one more thing on Donovan Mitchell. They played against a team in the Oklahoma City Thunder who arguably has some of the best individual talents in the league. Obviously, they were a 4 seed. Oklahoma City was. Russell Westbrook, one of the toughest covers in the league, and Mitchell had to match up on him a lot. And this is one thing we didn't talk about, is how Simmons and Mitchell compare defensively. Simmons is what, 6'8", 6'9"? Or 6'10"? 6'10", 6'9", whatever. So he's guarding bigs. He doesn't really have to be out on the perimeter very much. And what the Sixers can do with him is they can kind of rotate their defense around having Simmons down low because he is so big. He creates a lot of matchup problems offensively, defensively. Donovan Mitchell, throughout this series, had to guard Paul George, Russell Westbrook, MVP, averaging a triple-double with two straight seasons.
Very impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. And Paul George guarded him last night. So he's not getting these guys who are guarding him who are slouches. He is getting usually their best defender out on the perimeter every single night from about a quarter of the way through the season on. And again, last night, he was still fantastic. I mean, a couple turnovers early in the first and second quarters. But, I mean, I am just so impressed with the way he has handled the spotlight in Utah. And he's become their savior, in a sense. Gordon Hayward left. They're all depressed in Utah. It's cold all the time in Salt Lake City. And then all of a sudden, wow, Donovan Mitchell, 21 years old. He's not going to leave us in free agency, at least not for right now.
Not right now, yeah.
He's the savior. So, and here's the thing also about, you're going to bring up Ben Simmons' playmaking, which, viable, very, very viable. Unbelievable passer. What's his assist numbers? 8 a game, right?
He's in the playoffs, it's 9. In the regular season, it was just a hair over 8, yeah.
Just a hair? Only eight assists, no big deal. So here's my argument with assists, because I knew this was going to be an argument here, so I get ready to debunk it. Here's the thing. Nowadays, assists, you can get an assist from simply passing to a J.J. Redick coming off a double screen. All you have to do is hit him in the chest, and he makes the shot, you get the assist. Assists aren't as much about setting up a player. While yes, that pass might seem like a setup, it's really not. I was a point guard who was passed first. So I know sometimes you get assists that you don't really deserve. It's part of the game. And sometimes you get assists that are absolutely blown and you don't get credit for them. But when the NBA nowadays, you can throw the ball down the post to the guy with the back to the basket. He'll have to make two dribbles and make a move. And he scores, you still get the assist. That just doesn't seem right to me. So the assist numbers, to me, shouldn't matter as much.
Is that because Mitchell only averages
2.7? That's partly it. But also, I want to say this. Ben Simmons has made some passes that have been incredible. So it's not just that he's feeding shooters, but the Sixers do have more outside shooters than the Jazz.
I agree. Ingles has stepped up big time here.
Yes.
But I agree, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Jay Crowder's a decent shooter, known more for his defense. But you got Covington, Saric, J.J. Redick, Marco Bellinelli. All those guys are three-point specialists, in a sense.
Right.
So it's easier to get assists when you have shooters spread out, and it gives you a chance to dribble drive more. Defense has to stay out on the shooters. You have more lanes. Now, that's just more of the GM doing a good job creating this team.
Right.
And piecing these things together. But again, I just think some of these assists are skewed because of you're just finding a shooter coming off a double screen, and really the screener should get the assist if they're the one putting the defender on the ground.
Right. I mean, I think if you average 9 a game, how many of those are you thinking are fluky or easy assists? I don't know. I think if you're averaging 9 a game.
At least 3 or 4.
Okay, so I think we'll take 3 away. He's still at double the amount of Mitchell.
Well, Westbrook led the league in assists this year.
Right.
And nobody would say that he's a pass-first guy. That's my point.
But he's an all-around guy, which Mitchell is too. So I don't know. I think...
Well, Mitchell's got to work on his playmaking.
I agree. And Rubio's helped out a lot in this playoffs.
Rubio was fantastic.
His team has stepped up a lot more than we all thought.
Yes, but we did. Rubio went down last night in the second quarter.
And Mitchell took over.
Right. I don't think Ben Simmons can do that. And that's why, to me, he can't be Rookie of the Year. I haven't seen him. He lost Joel Embiid, but it's a little bit different when you have a backcourt counterpart because we haven't seen Ben Simmons lose his skilled outside shooters because when he facilitates mostly to his shooters. Yes, every once in a while to Joel Embiid on the pick and roll, but most of the time it's to his shooters. We haven't seen him lose a piece like Ricky Rubio and have to just take over.
Right, I think here's why I still think Simmons. It's a regular season award, and what we saw in the regular season when Gobert went down, the Jazz were under 500 team, and then when Gobert came back, that allowed Mitchell to be more of a playmaker.
When did he go down in the...
At the beginning of the season.
Right, so Mitchell really hadn't developed into the star yet. He is still building his confidence, getting comfortable.
All right, I'll give you that, but when Embiid went down, similar type players...
Right, later in the season.
Later in the season, he averaged a triple-double, took that team, put him on his back. He took him to a 3 seed in the East.
I agree, but how many of those teams were above 500 or playoff teams? Not very many. That was an easy road. That's why they weren't rushing back in.
And what I will say about the playoff performances here, Melo and Carmelo Anthony and Paul George were no shows in this playoffs. It was Westbrook was the only person that showed up on a consistent basis for this team. So
Paul George played well in Game 5.
In one game. The Heat, on the other hand, they had, which I think the reason you picked him to win the series,
Dwayne Wade.
They have a little bit more well-rounded team. They're much deeper because the...
Possibly, but I would if you put them head-to-head, which team's better, Thunder or the Heat?
On paper, the Thunder. Play-wise, I don't know if you could really say the Heat had more experience playing more well-rounded minutes. They're much deeper.
Right.
The Thunder are based on 3 players, and only one showed up on a consistent basis this year, so I don't know if the Heat were that much worse of a team than we think the Thunder are. On paper, yeah, they have the names. They're flashy. But they weren't.
Right. And I've never been a Carmelo Anthony fan, so I agree with that. But at the same time, we all know the West is stronger than the East. It's been that way for 10 to 15 years.
Right.
So we know the Thunder have had to play tougher games, especially down the stretch when they were just trying to make the playoffs. They had to step up, and they did.
Right.
The Thunder did. So Miami, I mean, they don't... Goran Dragic, they got... Dwayne Wade, who might retire.
But then, I mean, the Jazz and the Thunder finished with the same record, so to say that they were that much of a better team.
No, I agree. The Thunder aren't as good as they could have been on paper, as you said. Because of their names, man, they look flashy.
Right.
My favorite player on their team, Steven Adams, by the way. If you can grow out a mustache and hold it for an entire year while playing basketball, because if you're playing football, you got a helmet on, you're playing baseball, you're in the outfield, you can't be seen as much. During basketball, with the man bun, I have so much respect for you.
It's a look, that's for sure.
So much respect. And the unibrow from Anthony Davis, I don't have respect for that because that's just poor care of your body. Like, dude, have some hygiene. Come on, man.
Well, once you get a trademark, you gotta go with it.
But why get a trademark? Why would you want to trademark something that is ugly? I don't get that.
I don't understand that either.
That'd be like my dad who has no left thumb trying to trademark the no left thumb.
It's like one of those, I mean, when you're that good, it's kind of, let's see what I can get away with here. And he's getting away with it because he's that good.
Anthony Davis, if you're listening, you can come on the show. I can give you grooming tips. I can groom a dog. I can groom your eyebrows. All right. Final segment coming up. We'll be right back. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Introducing Salt Creek Heights, luxury new home community in West Reading. High-quality homes built by Palomar Builders, now open in Phase 1, and now featuring 2 new lower-priced plans starting at just $403.8 and $421.8. Many lots with mountain or open space views. Energy-efficient homes include an entry-level solar system. Many traditional and modern styles available. Amenities include tile roofs, VersiFlex roofing, beautiful granite countertops, stylish tile bathtubs and showers, gorgeous kitchens, homes with 10-foot ceilings and up to 15-foot per plan, 8-foot front doors throughout, stylish light and plumbing fixtures, and exterior stained fencing. Contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker for more information at 941-9534. Now open, Salt Creek Heights by Palomar Builders. Take Eureka Way west of Buenaventura Boulevard to the entrance. Come see the difference. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. 5starbank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's 5-Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Segment four. Thank you for joining us here on a Saturday morning. Here from the studios at KCNR 1460, Connor Sutton, Dan Anderson is joining me, and our producer Jared King is always listening intently with anger when we say something that he disagrees with. Doesn't happen very often, but all right. I'm gonna anger some people with this.
But yeah, I'm gonna be one of them.
Just be open-minded. Baseball fans. Baseball fans get so mad about everything. Your guy hits a home run, or a guy on the other team hits a home run, celebrates too long. He's getting hit in the head the next at-bat. Like, come on, guys. Let's relax. Don't be so sensitive. All right. Here we go. I've mentioned this before. Major League Baseball and baseball in general, losing the younger crowd. Baseball is America's pastime. I get that. But... And baseball homers are going to hate me. Again, like I said, they're not going to like this. But a couple weeks ago, I did say that baseball is losing its touch. I'm going to come out and say this real quick. I love baseball. It's hard for me to watch a full nine-inning games, but I still love the games. One of my favorite sports. There's so many little things involved in it. The one-on-one pitcher versus batter in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings are very intense. And the MLB playoffs the last 2 years has been fantastic. Now, here's why I'm saying this, is because I do love baseball, and I feel like it might be dying a little bit. Because the ratings are down, because there's more empty seats in stadiums, they're becoming more irrelevant in the history of, or not in history, but in the world of sports. It doesn't seem like ESPN, Fox, are covering as much baseball as they used to because people don't care as much. Now, ESPN has the same type of shows. But what I'm saying, when you watch SportsCenter and things like that, yeah, you got the web gems, but you very rarely do you see straight baseball highlights. Because now they'll bounce around from lacrosse plays, which ironically, anytime there's anything good happens in lacrosse, it's number one on SportsCenter for top plays, which I don't understand. All right, so here's why I'm bringing this up. A couple days ago, Brandon Belt of the San Francisco Giants had a 21-pitch at-bat that lasted 13 minutes. 13 minutes. This segment's going to last 9.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that can happen in 13 minutes, but just one at-bat. One. Now, sometimes baseball games can take shorter, sometimes longer. Here's why basketball, football, hockey, and even soccer are going to be better off in the long run than baseball. TV ratings-wise, is because you have allotted amount of time. It has to be played. I know overtime, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes games take longer, but I work for the Sacramento Kings on game nights. Consistently, on a 7 o'clock start time, which is really 7:05 to 7:07 tip-off time, I usually get out of there at around 9:30. That's 2.5 hours, a little less. Baseball, no chance. And I get baseball's longer, and it's America's pastime, and it's slow, and it's for the old folks because it's slow. But here's what I want to do. I have an idea, and I actually thought pretty hard about this. I think I mentioned it to you on Wednesday. NASCAR and even soccer have started to do commercial breaks while the game is going on. And they can do that because it's not like nothing's happening, but there are allotted periods of time in every sport where there's a little bit of a lull, intensity-wise, and importance of the game, usually where they lose viewers a little bit. I would assume third and fourth innings, around that area for baseball. Here's what they need to do. Instead of going to commercial break that takes 2.5 minutes, and you have the pitchers come out and warm up, they get, I don't know, 4 warm-up pitches. I think it's 5 or 6. I don't know how many it is.
I think it's 8.
8 warm-up pitches in between innings? Okay. Let's shorten it to 3. You got to stay warmer while you're in. I know pitchers are going to be mad. Oh, I got to get my shoulder warm. Dude, nowadays you can go underneath your bullpen or your dugout, and you got a full training facility. Go throw down there if you have to. So, not as many pitches in between innings, less dead time in between innings, which means less commercial breaks, which means shorter times of baseball, which means action is happening more often. Now, the first, I don't know, batter, you can have the split screen where you have, again, this is for TV ratings, because I think that's where the moneymaker is in sports right now, is the TV ratings. Okay, you have baseball game going bottom right, and you have your commercial with the sound top left. It won't decrease the value of the commercial, and it'll shorten the games of baseball. Instead of having a 2.5-minute commercial break, you have the same amount of commercials, but you have the game going on for about a minute to a minute and a half of that time. And the first minute and a half of that is like the first 3 pitches of the at-bat. Now, if you miss a home run, yeah, I mean, that's a risk you're going to run.
Yeah.
Baseball has this old style of don't show me up. And this is another problem I have, and you and I talked about this earlier. We as fans love celebrations. That's why the NFL decided to start allowing celebrations, which this last year was awesome. We saw it on social media a ton. Guys doing creative celebrations. But in baseball, that bat flips, that's walking around the home run or your home run trot too long. I don't know what the time is. It's like 22 seconds, and if it's over that, you're getting thrown to the ear hole. Why is that a problem? Let's let guys celebrate. We celebrate as fans. We're these guys who are focusing their entire lives on this at bat. They hit a home run. They can't celebrate? Oh, let me just give them a fist pump. Come on. Let these guys get excited. How do we expect guys to be so focused and then they succeed to not celebrate? It doesn't make sense to me.
All right, so here's, I think, the pitch count, lowering the pitches in between innings, it's until you have every stadium in the league that has the same advantages, because not every stadium is built the
right,
same.
You're right.
I think that's a little bit far-fetched at this point. Commercial break during live action for baseball, because it is so unpredictable. I mean, I've watched a lot of baseball already this year, and I've seen a ton. And it happens a lot early in the season, a lot of 3-pitch innings. Like, it happens quick. So if you start, okay, we're going to just do a minute and a half, and the inning ends in 2 minutes, and you're going straight to another commercial break, that's going to seem to a fan like...
But it's not, again, it's not a really commercial break. So when you come back from commercial, you're still watching the game. You're not missing any part of the game watching it wise.
Right.
You're just not hearing the announcer.
I just think when I watch NASCAR and they do that little split screen, to me that's commercial break. I'm checked out. I'm going to get a Coke out of the fridge or going to go to the bathroom or whatever. What I will say about baseball is ratings have dropped, but in this new era of the younger fans are emerging, every single league except for basketball went up last year, but that was because they had a weird dip last year. So they're about the same as what they were, but everybody else has dropped since 2015.
And that's because of the online streaming and that kind of
exactly.
stuff, too.
According to ESPN, they do a poll every single year across their whole platform. They ask, what is your favorite sport to watch? 32% of Americans say NFL. Number 2 for the last 15 years, baseball. Basketball is climbing, but baseball is still number 2. A Gallup poll this year had baseball of 3rd place behind basketball, but when you separate college basketball and NBA, baseball is a solid 2nd. So I think the fact that baseball is in trouble or dying, I think, is blowing out a little bit.
It's not in trouble yet. I'm saying in the future it's going to be in trouble because all these baseball fans are getting older and this new crowd isn't growing up watching baseball because it's so long and they're so focused on their phones and they want to see clips and things happening fast.
Right, and I agree. I'm one of these guys with you. I love baseball. I've watched a ton of it. I think it's been... I mean, they had 40 million viewers for that Game 7 a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They're doing okay. But I do think they need to address something. So here's my solutions to try to get the younger fan. They've done well to start tweaking some of these rules, shorting commercial breaks. What they can do is clean up instant replay, make that a little bit quicker.
Yep.
like you said, embrace some of these young, like the Bryce Harpers of the world. Let them be themselves. That'll let the fans accept these guys more. Here's what I think they need to do. Call the strike zone the way it's supposed to be called, because strikeout numbers are up and walks are up, which means that's more at-bats where the ball doesn't get put into play, and that's what really is killing the game.
That's true. All right, Dan Anderson joining us today. Appreciate you being on the show, Dan. Always good stuff. Love having him on. Thanks to our producer, Jared King, in the building. And now it's time for my favorite part, where we play an On the Way Out song that makes my day better. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Have a great day.
We're more than just friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143.